The Treasury Department tries new strategies to stop corporations from going shopping for lower taxes overseas. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. It's a new phase of a crackdown on U.S. companies trying to lower their U.S. taxes by acquiring a foreign address. The Treasury Department is putting into place some obstacles to stop so-called inversions. Marketplace's Annie Baxter joins me now with details. Annie, what is Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew trying to accomplish here?
Well, he's trying to make it harder for companies to skirt existing laws. Under them, companies are only allowed to do an inversion if the U.S. shareholders own less than 80% of the combined company. And among other things, the new rules try to keep companies from doing a maneuver called stuffing, where assets are stuffed in the non-U.S. company before the merger in order to make the foreign company seem bigger and get around that 80% requirement.
You think these new rules might actually stop so-called inversions?
Well, the Treasury Department certainly hopes they're going to deter the practice. You know, it's become increasingly common in the past few years as corporations try to save on taxes. But even Treasury has said that it would take an act of Congress to really prevent inversions.
Now, a big story over the last week, the drug companies Pfizer and Allergan are reportedly going to merge in what would be an inversion-style deal. Do you think these new rules might stop that one?
Well, it's unclear at this point because we don't really know exactly how the deal would get structured. And Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business, doesn't seem to think this would thwart the deal. He thinks the rules would just make the deal a little harder for Pfizer.
It may change the price that it's willing to pay for Allergan, but I think that Pfizer is going to try to go ahead and do an inversion.
He says an inversion with some tax relief is likely better for Pfizer than no tax relief.
Marketplace's Annie Baxter, thank you. Numbers now. Yeah, the 100 share index in London is flat. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up in the 0.2% range. Who gets lucrative federal grants for medical research? Now, a group of medical researchers have gathered 30 years of data showing that researchers who are Black, Asian, or from other minority groups are less likely to win critical National Institutes of Health grants. Marketplace's Mark Garrison has more on a story that could affect your health and how your tax money is spent.
If you're a health researcher with a big question to answer, you need an NIH grant. Competition is tough. If you're not white, it's even tougher. In 2013, 19% of minority researchers saw their grants approved, but 23% of whites and multiracial researchers did get money.
If you're a biomedical investigator in the U.S. and you are applying for competitive research funding from the NIH, you are not entering a field that is level. The field is tilted.
Sam Oh is an epidemiologist at UCSF. He and other researchers got their hands on decades of NIH data. Their findings track with previous studies showing that even after considering experience and training, minority research grants are more likely to be declined. Oh worries this funding gap could mean health concerns impacting minorities get overlooked.
Some of these areas of study or investigation affect different parts of our population differently.
The NIH wasn't able to respond by deadline, but in the past has said that diversity in science is a problem it's working on. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Everybody seems to love Warren Buffett. If you look carefully at the legendary investor, the billionaire head of Berkshire Hathaway can sometimes be seen to levitate over water. Regular contributor Alan Sloan is also a columnist for The Washington Post, and he's here with a more critical view. Hello, Alan.
Good morning, David.
So what have you done here? You've juxtaposed together two events from Buffett's world. One, amazing profits from his company, Berkshire Hathaway. Two, a takeover deal that got a lot of attention on our show here and beyond. Taken together, you think it says something about the world's most perfect human being?
Right. And what it says is not particularly flattering because one day a company that he backed called Kraft Heinz fires 2,600 people. The next day, Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, announces record profits, a good part of which come from the money it put into Kraft Heinz.
So the whole strategy here in many of these takeovers is to cut costs, but that is often code for fire people.
Well, yeah. The people whom Buffett bankrolled, a company called 3G Capital, this is what they do. They've done this all over the world any number of times, and Buffett hooked up with them because they were making a lot of money. Buffett wasn't getting any part of it, so he became enamored of them, and Berkshire, in which, by the way, I own stock, began to back these guys.
Now, this maneuver is all the rage, not just these days, but for decades. Groups of investors taking over a company and cutting costs, which can mean the loss of jobs. Why are you picking on Mr. Buffett?
Well, because he goes around saying, this is really terrible when the so-called private equity companies do it. This is a terrible way to do business. But I guess it's okay when a company that he finances does the same thing, but it doesn't call itself private equity. And since he won't talk to me, I can only guess at what his explanation might be.
Did you try to talk to him?
I did.
He didn't call you back?
No, he didn't even return my email.
When he doesn't return my calls, it's not news. I guess it is. With Alan Sloan, Marketplace regular, who's also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And this fresh number from the Pew Research Center today, more immigrants from Mexico are leaving the United States than coming in. It's the first time this has happened since the 1970s. Some of this is tougher border restrictions. Some of this is the holdover from the long recession when low-wage jobs dried up. Now, just yesterday on this program, we heard from an economist who talked to Western real estate developers who say they can't find nearly enough low-wage construction workers to keep pace with housing demand. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer, Tobin Lowe. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.